It is 5:30 p.m. Monday, May 15th. That means talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show will be starting momentarily. Before we start the show here in a second, we want to salute our sponsors. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Peter Tichichin. In association with Baywood Real Estate, a local real estate firm established in 1962, Peter Tichichin and Baywood Real Estate are happy to support community radio. And they can be reached at 680-1900, that's 680-1900, or at chicohomes.com. So thank you to the sponsors. Talking About Practice starts right now.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. Listen, we're talking about practice. How silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. Talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. We are the second coming of Say Hey. Shout out to my man Jake Sprecher in the back right now, working hard. We are his follow-up act, so to speak. So, I'm Jarrell Gilbert, host of Talking About Practice. Alongside me, as always, co-host, co-pilot, Derek Usumaki. Derek, what's good, brother?
Yo, what's cracking, my dude?
Oh, you know, just in trying to enjoy this hectic Monday.
I feel you. Start of the week right now for everyone else.
Indeed.
Me, it's my weekend, so I'm just chill.
Yeah, you're chilling, man. You're enjoying it. We have our producer in training, our producer extraordinaire, John Lucan. John, what's happening?
What up?
And we have special guest host back again, friend of the show, DJ J Pounds, a.k.a. Mr. Jordan Booth.
What's the deal?
I feel like to get the term like special guest host, you can't come on as often as you do.
I've been on like 10 times.
Yeah, so. I feel like special guest is no longer attributed to
Jordan. It's like the guest that's always over at your house.
Yeah.
So I don't have to wash dishes. Yeah. No, you do. You got to clean your dishes.
The resident special guest. Mondays.
So we got a lot to get into. Game 7 in the Eastern Conference semifinals is going on right now. Can't wait to get home and watch that. Kaepernick finally getting some looks after all this debate, so we'll get into that. Derek's got some news. We're going to talk about Jeter getting his number retired and his Hall of Fame career off the field when it comes to the dating department. Few have done it.
No one's surpassed like he has.
Facts.
You know,
yeah. What is that? Facts.
What's that? Facts.
We're also going to get into some hockey, so that'll be fun. But before we do all that, Western Conference, what is it?
Finals?
Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The team I've rooted for my whole life is playing in it. Should know what's going on. Western Conference Finals, Game 1 was yesterday, and the Warriors were absolutely getting their doors blown off. And then Zaza happened. For those of you who didn't see the game, Zaza...
Dirty play.
Oh, come on.
Slipped under Kawhi, who was dealing with an ankle issue from Game 5 in the Western Conference Semis against the Rockets. He's been dealing with an ankle issue. You couldn't see any signs of that in the first half because he was just dunking all over the Warriors. Oh, my God. But Zaza kind of snuck up under him there as he was coming down from a jumper. He did the Bruce Bowen to Kobe and crowded him and left no room for him to come down and land cleanly. And Kawhi went out of the game, and the Warriors came back, and the rest is history. The Warriors, I believe, were down 23 at that time. But we'll really kind of dissect this game and get into it, what we expect moving forward. But first, let's hear from a very unhappy camper in Greg Popovich.
Pop, how much more difficult is it without him, obviously, against a team?
Come on, man. How much more difficult is it? How would it be if Curry didn't play? How much more difficult would that be? I'm not a happy camper. But that's a silly question. A two-step lead with your foot closeout is not appropriate. It's dangerous. It's unsportsmanlike. It's just not what anybody does to anybody else. And this particular individual has a history with that kind of action. You can go back and look in Dallas games where he got a flagrant two for elbowing Patty Mills. The play where he took Kawhi down and locked his arm in Dallas and could have broken his arm. Ask David West, his current teammate, how things went when Zaza was playing for Dallas and he and David got into it. And then think about the history he's had and what that means to a team, what happened last night. A totally unnatural closeout that the league has outlawed years ago and pays great attention to it. And Kawhi's not there.
So clearly Pop was not having any of it.
Just sounded pleasant.
Yeah. You tell him, Pop. Couple things I want to point out there that I think are noteworthy and worth a few minutes of our time. One, Zaza going head up against David West makes Zaza an official goon, because I don't think anyone in their right mind would ever try David West. He's a scary, scary, scary man. But if you have seen those plays, I actually saw a little compilation on Instagram of those plays that Pop is talking about. And it's everything he's talking about is accurate. And he did lock Kawhi's arm and go dead to the ground. And it could have been really, really nasty. And so to the question whether Zaza was trying to hurt or was trying to crowd that space and potentially hurt Kawhi, my answer is duh. But I wanted to know what you guys thought. You guys all saw the play. What did you guys think? Derek, we'll start with you.
I mean, I don't think it was like cold-blooded stuff, but I definitely think he knew what he was doing. He knows what he's doing out there. You know, he's been playing in the game for quite some time right now. You know, he's trying to give the guy no space whatsoever. And if that no space causes him to get hurt, then so be it. If it doesn't, then, hey, they'll keep on rolling. But, I mean, hey, it worked out for Zaza and the Warriors the way it went down. Because, like I said, it's a NBA move. It's a basketball play. These guys have all been playing basketball for years on end. And they know the consequences of a lot of their actions they do out on the court, you know? And granted, those consequences don't always come up. You don't know if it's actually going to happen, but he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, but before Jordan jumps in here, because I know he's Clipper ready to jump in on the Warriors. But I want to talk about the possession right before Zaza had that closeout. Granted, I'll give you the benefit of what Pop was talking about and his history of dirty plays, the dirty actions. There's a lot of players that you can go that route with, you know, when you look back on it. That possession right before that, Kawhi in the same possession has a ball in the low wing right there, takes a contested jumper, makes it, great shot. And then goes to kind of run away, goes to get back on defense, and rolls that ankle again on his own player sitting on the bench. So the very next play, granted, Zaza's known for doing these things, but if you look back at that play, I mean, yeah, he's closing out. You don't see him maliciously looking at that player. He's looking at the shot. His hand's up. He's looking at the shot turned around. He's not that good at geometry where he's going to know where his foot is, where Kawhi is landing. Like, give me a break. You know what I mean? It's like, it's unfortunate that it happened, but I'm not going to claim it to a Draymond Green kicking you in the nards type situation. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, I just feel people are blowing it out of proportion. And granted, you know, Pop has every reason to be mad. He
pretty much just lost the series within 20 minutes of a game because his best player, arguably the top three player in the game, just went down. So I'm not on the side of Zaza being a dirty player. All Jordan, right. you're smiling at me right now, Jordan.
Yeah. Are you done? Are you done? All right, Zaza Pachulia.
He's about to start murdering
Let's
people.
Break it down. Zaza Pachulia, he's replacing this position of Andrew Bogut. Pretty solid player. Big guy, you know what I'm saying? They kind of do the same things, but Andrew Bogut is a lot more skilled, a lot better player.
Right.
So what does Zaza have to do in order to make up for the loss and for the, you know what I'm saying, the deficit of skill? Be a dirty player. He has been a dirty player his entire career. That closeout is completely, completely unacceptable. Kawhi landed on that man's knees. That man is 7 foot tall. So that means that man gave him literally no space to land. Like, usually when you close out on somebody and you don't leave them space to land, they roll their ankle.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He hurt his knee on this man's – he hurt his knee on a jump shot, on a closeout on a jump shot. That's ridiculous. It's egregious. He should be suspended. It should have been a flagrant.
Why wasn't it called in the beginning then? I mean, you look at the first half of that game and how many tic tac, you know, fouls got called on Spurs and Warriors.
There were so many little
tic tac fouls. You would think with playoff game they're going to let it go.
I know, but you can't. You have to, it's like a control thing. You can't let them, you know, keep going back and forth until a fight breaks out. You know, sometimes you have to call tiki tac fouls in order to control the game.
I mean, they did loosen up a lot in the second half, though. The second half they got pretty handsy with each other, I feel.
Yeah,
especially when, like, granted the Warriors are coming back, and that's, you know, Kawhi's getting out of the game at that point in time. Sure. Momentum swinging at that point, but
I think the main storyline for this should be is not Zaza being a dirty player, is the notoriety that Kawhi should be getting now that he is out. Everyone wants to talk about James Harden and Westbrook in this MVP game. Look at what the Spurs did the first, you know, 15 minutes he was gone. You know what I mean? They scored, 4 points in 15 minutes? You know, it's like Kawhi is not getting the love on both sides of the ball that he should be in the NBA right now.
No, I think if you include playoffs, Kawhi becomes your obvious MVP. I don't really want to get into debating that too much because Russell Westbrook had an amazing season, obviously, and so did James Harden. But I think we see now, if we hadn't already, how important Kawhi is and all that he does for this Spurs team, who finished with above 60 wins again. I mean, second best record in the league this year. And he is their superstar. He does everything for them on offense, does everything for them on defense. I did think it was interesting seeing LaMarcus Aldridge get into the mix yesterday. He played great after playing so-so most of these playoffs. And by so-so, I mean pretty terribly, minus two games, I think it was. So I did think that was kind of interesting. But if there's no Kawhi, this series is over. I mean, I hate to... As a basketball fan, I was really excited for how yesterday started. As a Warriors fan, I was kind of furious, but I was able to balance the two because I was like, okay, great. The Warriors get smoked in game one. They'll come out, get game two, and then we might have a really good seven-game series, which will be a lot of fun. Not so much for me. It'll be a lot of stress, but I just enjoy hoop. And I thought that this would be a team that could really, really push the Warriors, and now... We don't know how long Kawhi is out yet, I don't think.
He's listed as doubtful for the next game. They said his MRI came back negative, so...
Yeah.
That's upsetting. I mean,
it is. It's unfortunate because here's the thing. For all you Warriors fans out there that are like, okay, well, that's cool. I mean, this should be a win. If the Warriors win the finals again, now granted, a trophy is a trophy and a ring's a ring, but this is going to could potentially be another year of the Warriors win with an asterisk. Like the last time they did it in 15 when who'd they run into? Conley was out, and then they ran into there's a bunch of key injuries that led them – that helped them propel them in the playoffs. Doesn't necessarily mean they would have lost those series, but you never know. And so a lot of people talked about the Warriors played no one in the Western Conference. And now that conversation is going to spark up again. My little cousin Chase, shouts to him, hit me up yesterday and said, what is it about the Warriors where they just can't defend big, physical, small forwards? And I was like, well, who else? And he was like, LeBron. And my response is, well, who really can defend LeBron and Kawhi? I mean, They're ridiculous.
I was going to say maybe each other they could, you know, but that's just about it.
Kawhi has shown that he can guard LeBron. But, I mean, nobody guards LeBron straight up. You know what I'm saying?
No.
That's the thing. Help defense is very key. But, yeah.
Yeah. So, do you guys still think this is a series, Jordan? Do you think this is still...
I have optimism that the Spurs, you know what I'm saying, will have a game plan. You know what I'm saying? I don't know because they've... It's very hard to beat a team that talented with pretty much no talent. Not saying that the Spurs don't have any talent on their team, but when your most talented player is gone, and he was the bridge between them being good and great.
Like, no doubt was he, that's going to be a huge loss. I mean, look what they did to the Houston, though, without Kawhi. You know, so it's possible. Granted, to be able to say Houston to compare Houston to the Warriors is different. That's a different story, and, it, you know, different, you know, something's going to unfold differently. But, I mean, most people didn't really give them a chance with Kawhi in the lineup, you know? Like, there is still kind of, like, maybe six games you might go to.
Because Warrior fans are arrogant.
I mean, they have reason to be, though. Do they not? I mean, they kind of got a little bit, you know? They have a little reason to get arrogant at this point.
But you look at that series, though, and you're going to see who's going to step up besides Kawhi when Kawhi is out. And I don't Simmons. I don't see Ginobili's 58. You know, I don't right. see
Ginobili.
I don't see those dudes putting up 30 for the next three games to be efficient enough to. I mean, it's gonna come down to if they're gonna want a series, it's gonna come down to Gasol and Aldridge and big man work.
Yep.
You know, going into the low block
yep.
and trying to swing around and do all that kind of offense. I think Popovich is obviously, like you said, is gonna have a game plan.
Sure.
But I didn't think. I thought this was the best I thought this was the best opportunity for the Spurs in Game One to come out, sock us in the mouth, and take this victory to kind of maybe get us back on our heels or get us questioning, you know, just Warrior fandom, Warrior everything, and they let it slip away. I think it might be a sweep now.
Wow. Yeah, with no Kawhi, you know, I could see that, but I don't know. I agree with you there that they lost a golden opportunity. To really put the Warriors on their heels, like you said, and make this a really, really difficult series. And again, I mean, look, you don't need to be a basketball insider to know that with no Kawhi, it's going to be really, really difficult for the Spurs because they just don't have a whole lot of players who can create their own shot. I was surprised to see Ginobili dunk again yesterday, like aggressively.
He's had a couple of this.
Yeah, guy's getting up still, man.
Filthy,
yeah.
Switching hands off the wrong foot. Yeah. Like, all right, you know?
Yeah.
At 58, killing the game.
But you know
still.
What? I think everybody's missing the underlying story from this game.
Which is
that, you know what I'm saying, the Warriors are supposed to be this super elite team, but, you know what I'm saying, they were getting their doors blown back. You
sure
know what
were.
For the whole game.
Sure were.
With a Spurs team and Kawhi Leonard, who nobody felt was a true contender. What does that mean for the King? You know what I'm saying? Because LeBron has shown that there has been no option for him. Nobody to stop him this whole playoff. So you're telling me if they're struggling with the Spurs, you think they're ready for LeBron? And the Cavaliers at full strength, JR back, Channing Frye back, everybody, Kyle Korver, the addition of Kyle Korver?
No, I think the Cavs are terrifying. And if I had to pick today, I'd probably pick the Cavs in 6 or 7, to be honest. I don't know.
Granted, we haven't seen the Cavs in 2 weeks, but
yeah, that's yeah.
It depends on how they come out.
I mean, that's also a thing too. I mean, you know, this first game you're talking about, the Spurs blowing them off. The Warriors are coming off a break. The Spurs are coming off a big game win over the Houston. I mean, didn't you say last week the first game is not even that many important of a game? You know,
no, for sure.
So I mean, they're probably just at that coming out a little lackadaisical, not hitting their shots yet.
Well, one thing that I would be really concerned about if I'm a Warriors fan, which I am, Klay Thompson has been terrible these playoffs. I mean, he's been trash. He's been good on defense, but he's given the Warriors next to nothing on offense, and I don't understand it. Thank God for that Kevin Durant signing, because Klay just has not shown up in these playoffs. I mean, I don't have his numbers in front of me, but I've watched every game, and I can tell you that is not the same Klay we've seen in the postseason or in the regular season, and certainly not the same Klay we saw last year in Game 6 against OKC. When OKC, it was a wrap. They had the Warriors on the ropes, ready to finish them off, and Klay just did damage in the last, what, it was 6-7 minutes of that fourth quarter, got him back in it, and you know, the rest is history. But Klay's been terrible, and yeah, I'm terrified of LeBron. LeBron doesn't – this also makes me marvel at LeBron because Kawhi built similar, and, you know –
built similar.
Well, no one is built similar.
LeBron has
like
45 pounds on that. LeBron is 296.
Fair enough.
What do you mean?
Fair enough. Fair enough.
A human tank.
Okay, well.
I mean, if we're going to take two people in the NBA or take the next person that's closest to LeBron, you probably would say Kawhi, though. Would you not? Like, who else is, like, somewhat similar to, like, in the realm of, like, we're in the same ballpark, you know? Like, they're used to in the stadium with him.
Ibaka. Even though Ibaka's taller, but that's about the same.
I mean, game way is completely different, though.
No, game way. Yeah.
I mean, the way their style of game is completely different. So that's why I say.
Does play like LeBron, though?
I mean, it's kind of difficult.
LeBron.
I mean, yeah, exactly. LeBron. Yeah.
There's only one LeBron. That's obvious.
LeBron Jr.
At times, LeBron has an ugly game, too.
He can ugly it up.
Yeah, but he's
his ugly, though, is like 26, 9, and 8.
Right. Yeah. You know? Turnovers like, damn, LeBron.
I'm only getting second team honors with this bad LeBron.
But to back up, you were there at the Klay Thompson. That game one, he had 40 minutes, 2 for 11, and 6 points.
Yeah.
So that's you definitely need him to show up. I mean, Curry helped it going, you know, going off for 40 and Durant, but
the biggest difference is, and you saw it yesterday, you saw it in that first half. There were times that offense looked abysmal in the first half. I mean, it did not look like the Warriors that we've been watching all season. I mean, the passes were terrible. They just didn't look fresh. They looked, you know, rusty. They looked like the rest, you know, rest versus rust argument. They looked rusty and all that. But the one thing you see, and the biggest reason why, if I have a lot of confidence going forward with the Warriors, the reason why I would say continue to have that confidence is you've seen this several times in the postseason. The Warriors struggle on offense for a couple possessions, don't really move the ball well, go into isolation, all this kind of stuff. And then they just say, forget it. Get it to KD and let KD cook. And he's been doing his thing. When they need a bucket, they just isolate KD, and he's been getting buckets, which isn't something they really did much during the regular season. And so that gives me hope in the postseason moving forward that that is something they can start to institute. So, yes, you need Klay. You need all these guys. But having KD and having a guy in a potential Game 7 when Curry is – hurt and can't get around Kevin Love, for Christ's sakes, and Klay's off. You have some guy, you have KD, who, like we've said before on the show, I've said it many, many times, there's few people in the world or in the history of basketball that can get you a bucket more efficiently than KD can. So that's a good sign for the Warriors, but regardless, it's unfortunate if Kawhi's out. You would really like, again, as a basketball fan, you really want to see these two teams at full strength and not a hobbled Kawhi going into it, or, you know, maybe him not even being there. Anything else on this series before we can move on? We just spent 20 minutes on it. So.
I was going to say, I think we beat it senseless.
All right. All right. We got it. The Warriors are good and Kawhi's out. Got it. Moving on. We're still... We got a Game 7 going on tonight. I want to talk about some of the shenanigans and antics and fun stuff going on around that series, but maybe we'll save it till after the 6 o'clock hour when Derek does his news, because there is a few minutes here, few precious moments to ask the question, what the hell happened to James Harden in Game 6 or Game 7? Was it Game 6?
Game 6, yeah.
At home, 11 total points. He had 5 points and 5 turnovers in the first half. Stephen A. Smith accused him of being drugged before the game. I mean, this was just...
I thought he pulled a Pete Rose and was just
And he
like,
was just betting on
just
the other
betting
team.
On yeah. it.
I mean, I've never... Jordan, Derek, and I all watched the game together. Shout out to Adam. Adam was there, too. We all watched the game together. Or no, we watched the... No, that wasn't
yeah,
that
we
game.
The,
we watched
yeah.
a different game. Never mind. So I won't bring that up. But we were all talking about it while watching Wizards Celts Game 6. We all talked about what happened with James Harden. And we were even doing some research trying to find other superstars, MVP-type candidates that had poor performances in a closeout game. In particular, we looked at that LeBron game against the Celtics, his last iteration with the Cavs before he went to the Heat. And I believe he had 23 points, or maybe 27. We talked about Kobe in that game 6, I think it was.
Yeah, against the Celtics in the finals.
Yeah, and I think he had 23.
Yeah,
so... You know, they were at least, and they were putting up
shots. They were putting up shots, yeah.
Which is the hardest thing to figure. No one in the league this year, besides Russ Westbrook, was less gun shy about pulling the trigger than, or trigger shy? Gun hat? You know what I'm trying to say. James Harden likes shooting the ball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he just wasn't doing that. And that's what, like, I get it. If you take 30 shots and you have 11 points and you just have an off game, yo, I can understand that. At least you're gunning. But to go out in that way.
And he only had two made shots.
Yeah, two for 11.
The rest were at the free throw line.
Yeah.
Was he two for 11 with 10 points or something?
Yeah.
Six turnovers. Yeah.
They had 9 2-point baskets made that entire game. That's so bad. You want to know how bad that is? That is the worst.
Freshman high school basketball.
No, that is the least amount of 2-point baskets made in an NBA game, preseason, postseason, regular season,
really?
since in the shot clock era.
Wow.
Since the dawn of time. Yeah.
Since the integrated basketball.
So it was bad. And I just wonder, do you guys have any theories whatsoever?
He was hurt, man.
MVP to Westbrook now.
I mean,
they are solidified.
Yeah, I was going to say, thank God at least the boating's over. But still, yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is, yeah, he was hurt. A lot of people are saying that. I mean, he just didn't look like he could play ball. You know, he was dealing
with that, what, the wrist injury earlier, or kind of towards playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get really irritated. You see this in kind of Cam Newton's. You see, you know, big game loss where you're kind of the focal point, the superstar of that team, and then that night of you're out seen doing stuff and just makes it look like you don't even care. You know, like that night that they lost, he went, you know, had 10 points, probably one of the worst performances he's ever put on in his career.
Yep.
And that night he's out, you know, bottle service at the club. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Jordan Sorrows.
He was seen in the club.
It's like,
he went to a strip club after with Travis Scott and Kylie Jenner too. So.
Okay, so just because he lost, his life has to suck?
No.
I mean, he's got Jordan Sorrows somehow. No, man, he want to get through the night. Yeah, he needs a little help. A little pick me up.
You can't deny it's a bad look, though.
Oh, it's a bad look, but it's a bad look because of the public, not because of him. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care. Obviously, a man of that stature and that caliber in our game right now to be in the MVP voting cares about the game.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I don't have a problem with him.
Go ahead.
Oh, I don't have a problem with him going out. I mean, you just have to. If he doesn't care what the optics are on it, then okay. But people are. First of all, if I was a Rockets fan, I'm out at the club and I went to that game and he shows up, I'm booing that man.
Yeah. Boo this man.
Get him out of here. What are you doing in the club, bro? Go work on your J or something. I want you working around the clock. But no, I mean, I think it did get a little overblown. The story got a little too hyped. But I do agree that just the optics of it, the way it looks is...
Wait, did you say that he went to a strip club with Jenner and
Travis Scott?
I don't know
Travis
if Jenner Scott. Went to the strip club. I shouldn't have said that. I know Travis Scott. He was seen at the club. He showed up with Travis Scott and Kylie Jenner.
What are they doing in Houston? Like, that's why
Travis Scott's from Houston.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah,
All right.
You can find out more information like that if you tune in to BYOB Radio every Thursday evening at midnight with DJ J Pounds.
Hey.
You're the one who told me Travis Scott was from there. But anyway.
It makes sense then. I was going to say, it seems weird that you'd have a Jenner in Houston right now.
Well, yeah, and also, James Harden dated her sister, so I'm not going to speculate. Don't know what's going on there.
Okay.
Hey.
But that's all kind of weird. James Harden, though, has had a pretty... abysmal history in big moments. The finals, when he got traded from OKC, he didn't show up. I mean, in Houston's run since he's been there, in their postseason run since he's been with Houston, what's their most memorable moment? Can anyone, Jordan, do you know?
Houston's most memorable moment?
In the postseason since James Harden.
Good when Dame Lillard sent him out of the playoffs.
Just good or good and bad? Most memorable moment.
I would say when they came back on the Clippers for
right.
one.
Right.
Yeah, that was the best moment.
And James Harden was sitting on the bench for that.
Right.
Yeah.
For all of those runs.
I'm not saying he's not a postseason performer. I'm not really saying
You're
anything.
Alluding to that, though.
I'm just thinking out loud.
I don't know. I mean, I look at his team, like we were talking about how important Kawhi is to the Spurs and seeing that when he's out. Like, look how important James Harden is to the Rockets, seeing him.
But is he, though?
Well.
I mean, when he goes out, yeah, I mean, they got, granted, they got blown out in that game six, but. You see those games, I mean, you know, not no offense, you know, against the Clippers, but when they come back from those 3-1s, like, he's not even playing he's not playing in those stretches where they're making those comebacks. He's sitting on the bench right there.
To me, anybody who collapses 3-1, I think that's more about the team that's up 3-1 than the team that came back from 3-1. To me, personally, it's more of an implosion of the team than the
actual success of the other team.
Yeah, to me. Because, I mean, how can you be in that dominant of a position? That's like being on UFC, dudes bloody, just on the ground, you're beating them up, the ref's getting ready to stop, and then all of a sudden you're just getting beat up now. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Swing it back fist.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, broadcasting live from Chico, California. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Trace Hombres Long Bar and Grill, featuring coastal Mexican cuisine reminiscent of the beach in Baja and the Yucatan, with flavors from all over Latin America. Their Long Bar offers over 120 premium 100% blue agave tequilas and has been voted best margarita in Chico 10 years in a row and counting. Located on the corner of 1st and Broadway, downtown Chico, Trace Hombres is open 7 days a week. Derek, do you have some news for us, my guy?
I do got some news for us to know what's going on in the world right now. It's important stuff, guys. We're going to keep it local starting off with right now.
Yeah.
The Chico State baseball team is on their way to the NCAA championship tournament.
Yep.
Nice. They're going to be playing in Arizona. They are the number one seed in the West region. So shouts to them. They are first game. Yeah, that was.
Shout out to the Wildcats.
The Wildcats, man. Wildcats. Like I said, they play their first opponent is Cal Poly Pomona on Thursday at 3 p.m.
Going down Pomona.
Right? So, hey, shouts to the Chico State baseball team. Hopefully, they can take home that title right now. And yes, as we do continue on along with the news right now, I got to give shouts to my boy Eddie Lacy. Cashed in on a $55,000 bonus check for weighing in on the correct amount when he came up to camp. So,
nice.
Hey,
make that money,
Max. Eddie Lacy. That's pretty good, man.
Shout out to the Jenny Craig diet, man.
He's on the seafood diet, Mark, you know? He sees it, he eats it. Got to give a sad news right now in the world of the bachelor life right now. The lovers, Ben Higgins and Laura Bushnell, have called it quits. So,
what?
Yeah, I know.
Wait, who is who? Ben Higgins?
Ben Higgins and Laura Bushnell. They were on The Bachelor together. They won, or she won, he won. Someone won. They won together. They found love, apparently. And then they lost it. So now they lost.
Yeah. That love.
Yes.
Man, who would have thought?
Right. We were talking about a little bit in the show, but Derek Jeter had a nice little ceremony this past weekend. A-Rod, however, one of his good buddies, decided to skip it. He claimed that he was originally in Miami with his mother for Mother's Day, which is a solid point, you know, because it was Mother's Day on Sunday. Shout out to all the mothers. However, he was seen later that evening in New York with his girlfriend, J-Lo. So, hey.
Wait, like the J-Lo?
Yeah, the J-Lo.
Is that A-Rod?
A-Rod and J-Lo.
A-Rod and J-Lo, yeah.
What does Mark Anthony think about that?
I mean, that's a while ago from Mark Anthony, I feel. J-Lo's been going around the block, you know?
Oh.
Yikes.
To make yourself feel really bad because graduation is just happening right now, two kid genius brothers who are 11 and 14 years old are respectively graduating high school and college. Wow. Yeah, right? 11 years old and 14 years old right now. I'm sorry, my story is not pulling up right now, so I don't have exact data on it, which is bad. I should have had it all down. I'm going to go to the next one as I get that one pulled up, because it's a great story. It's awesome what these kids are doing right now. They're both being like astrophysicists and whatnot.
You may want to turn your Wi-Fi off. It's terrible here.
Okay, thank you for that heads up.
Yeah, no problem.
What university do they go to?
Berkeley.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
They're like legit kids. Like, these are really smart. He graduated from Berkeley. He's going to Berkeley, the one that graduated from high school.
11-year-old.
11-year-old. He's going there. Wow.
Makes
yeah,
way ahead of the.
Career. I'm sorry, not Berkeley. I'm sorry, Texas Christian University.
Okay, yeah,
they're from the SF area though, and like I said, they graduated from TCU. One with astrophysicists. He wants to go on to get his PhD, which I'm sure he can, because I mean they sound like they're brilliant already. And like I said, I got to give these guys a name right now. They are Carson is the. Why can't I find their names right now? This is terrible. Okay, well, either way, these boys, they're doing great stuff, and I have great hopes for them.
Props to the genius brothers.
Right? Dude, that's like you hit the lottery with two of them right
Aren't
there.
Aren't they black, too?
Yes, they are.
Woo! Yeah. Hey! Okay, that makes the story all the much better.
There you go, just so y'all know.
Yeah.
Main now, point of that story.
Granted, she's not really one of my favorite people right now, but Nicki Minaj is actually doing some good stuff right now. She is offering to pay off some of your student loans for you. All you got to do is just showcase that you begin straight A's, and she got you.
That's awesome.
Right?
What? That is awesome.
So
that's
she,
really cool.
In an Instagram post, she said, if you got straight A's, send them to me, and she'll help you out paying some of your student loans.
That
granted,
awesome.
She ain't paying
that's
off, cool. like, your Harvard tuition. But, you know, 5K here, another 3K there to help out the loans. That's some good deal stuff right there. So Nicki Minaj,
nice.
May not be a huge fan of your music or whatever, but you're doing good out there. Keep it up.
Damn, I should have got straight A's.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. That's such a limited population of, like, people.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good way to limit it down.
Strategy.
You know?
Because who really has straight A's?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Keep that 4.0 up.
Who has straight A's and an Instagram?
Yeah.
Let's be real.
They can go hand in hand.
People could do it.
People can do it. I'm just a procrastinator.
I believe in it right there. This one I kind of found funny right now is the Fordham University, which is the oldest Catholic institution in the Northeast, stopped having a Chick-fil-A being placed inside the university because of the Chick-fil-A stances on the LGBT gay marriage stance, which is unheard of because who doesn't want Chick-fil-A on their campus?
Who doesn't want Chick-fil-A anywhere?
Right? Come on.
Right. I don't think I've ever had a Chick-fil-A.
The reason I found it, you've never had Chick-fil-A?
I've never had a Chick-fil-A.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Man. I mean, I've watched plenty of Peach Bowls.
You're missing out. No, right. You need to find a Chick-fil-A, man. We need one up here. I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. But the reason I brought it up was Fordham University, like I said, being a Catholic university, not allowing a company on there that is against gay marriage, even though they're Catholic university, I think it's still against gay marriage themselves. So,
the oxiest of morons.
I was like, maybe you should go to a new school, man. I'm just saying. You probably, if you're really that against it, you picked the wrong university to go to. They're vehemently against that stance as well. Well, that is the news from you guys.
All right.
Hope you guys learned a little bit of information. Yeah.
I just want to say it wasn't like at all angry today. You know what I mean?
I try to keep it peppy.
I was expecting one.
He's got to grind my gears.
It's a big one. Yeah, yeah.
He's saving his anger for later.
It's all pent up now, you know? It's like that potential energy is stored.
All right. Well, thank you for the news. Moving on, let's discuss this this series taking place right now, or this game taking place right now. Can anyone pull up an update on what the score might be? Because my phone's way
over
there.
Yes, I got it right here.
All right. What?
It is 42-36 Boston with 4.5 minutes left in the second quarter.
Okay. Shout out to Guillermo Mash, who was in here earlier, and he's a C's fan. Also, shout out to our guy Noobs. He hasn't been on for a while. We're hoping to have him back. He's a huge Celtics fan as well, so got to big up our man, Noobs.
Shouts to the Noobs.
One of the OG members of this whole Sports Talk Radio thing in Chico. That game six was crazy. From beginning to end, it was a close game. John wasn't invited, but the three of us ended up catching the game together. And obviously, John Wall hits the game winner, which in dramatic fashion, pull up three right in the grill. Who was covering him? It was Avery Bradley.
Yeah, Bradley. Yeah.
Right in Bradley's grill to force a game seven. And all I can say, man, is this series has been probably the best series to watch in the playoffs so far.
I mean, you finally have a game seven now.
We have a game seven. We've had the Kelly on Kelly crime when Kelly Oubre shoved Kelly Olynyk to the ground. We had that game two that went to overtime where Isaiah Thomas went insane and had 53 points. So at least we've had one series that's just been, from start to finish, pretty great. And I just wonder, I mean, now we know the score. Do you guys see the Celtics moving forward, handling this series and playing the Cavs next round?
I mean, the home team has won that series, even in the regular season, every single time. So, I mean, if history repeats itself, then the Celtics on there. But I don't know, man. I like the Wizards, man. I feel like at some point in time, it's going to give, you know? At some point in time, one of the home teams is going to lose. And unfortunately for the Cs, it's their chance. I mean, they're all at home right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just looking over the stats right now for the Wizards, they have three guys, and one of them isn't Beal, all in double digits right now. So it looks like they're kind of spreading it around, which is bad news for the Celtics. Usually it's either Wall or Beal.
Yeah.
So I would like to see the Wizards in there more than the Celtics. I think they could put up more of a matchup against the Cavs.
Agreed.
Same. But something about Isaiah Thomas and the Celtics and their story they've been kind of going through this year leading into the playoffs would also be really cool to see too.
Yeah, I would like to see John. I would like to see more of John Wall. Can't get enough of that guy. He's so much fun to watch. I mean, that spin mood he had. We were all in the middle of conversation. We all just started screaming. That was so dirty. I mean, that guy moves. I mean, Derek, you've said this oftentimes on the show. That guy moves faster with the ball in his hand than he does without it, seems like.
Yeah.
And it's just, he's an athletic freak, and that guy needs a signature shoe. Nike, holler at the guy. But they do play in Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. is the home of heartbreak right now. Obviously, the Caps dropped that Game 7 the other night. The Wizards always seem to find a way to blow it, and, you know, the Nationals. So
they always have, like, everyone is always on the Nationals bandwagon at the start of the MLB season.
Every single year. They're doing great right now.
They do, yeah. But then it's like,
They drop off.
Can't even get past the wild card or division series.
I want to talk to you earlier today about my conspiracy theory.
Yeah, so let's get into that.
I read this article yesterday that really, really enticed me. Game 2, I believe, Marcus Morris for the Wizards goes down with a really, really bad rolled ankle.
Is it Markieff on the Wizards?
Markieff. And you look at that replay. I mean, it's a complete roll over the top of someone's foot.
Yeah.
He can't even walk off the court. He's being escorted off the court into the locker room that game. Doesn't come back for the remainder of that game. ESPN analyst, everyone says that he's probably supposed to miss the rest of that series. Next game, he comes back, has the best game of his playoff career, doesn't look to be, has any sign of hurt to an ankle, doesn't have an ankle brace, doesn't have anything on his ankle. And then it hit me. He's an identical twin. You know what I mean? Not only is he an identical twin, but his identical twin also plays in the NBA. Not only does his identical twin also play in the NBA, they have identical tattoos.
Right.
They sure do.
Like, I Google imaged it and started looking for about an hour. I could not tell those guys apart. There's not one thing that I could tell those dudes apart. How do you know that Marcus from the Detroit Pistons didn't just say, all right, yeah, just throw me some of your bonus money
and
I'll come play for you guys.
I got you, bro.
Oh, like, you're gonna ask for money for that? It's your bro right there. Man, come on, it's your brother. You shared a womb together.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you got a hoop though. It's if your like, bro calls you like that. You got
it's like
hoop.
The Morris twins are Lindsay Lohan in Parent Trap, and they just swapped it on their coaches. And if you look, I mean, look at the stats right now. I think Markieff, in quotes, you guys can't see me. It might be Marcus. Who knows? Is leading their team right now in 13 points. So
shouts to Marcus killing it today.
Marcus going crazy. Marcus on live stream.
Hey, keep that name. Make my name look good right now. You know. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so I don't know. I just thought it was a really interesting article. I started talking to him. How would you really be able to tell? I mean, it's not like you could, like, rip them off the court. And even if you wanted to rip them off the court, how are you going to, like, blood test? They have the same DNA.
Right.
You know, it's like, what?
Good luck.
Like, what are you going to, you know what I mean?
Good luck.
Like, have their mom in the locker room, like, which was which?
What if they're actually just clones and there's, like, 30 of them? So.
It's just a U.S. experiment that we're just trying out.
It'd actually be genius.
6'9" hoopers.
That actually, that explains LeBron never getting injured, if you think about it. What if he's cloned and there's like 40 LeBrons? This is why he's not aging. And he's just getting better and better.
Well, then why do they have his hairline receding?
Wait,
then?
Hey,
come on.
Breaking news!
You know, come on, give him a full head of hair then if he's a clone.
Whoa.
Well, they got to keep up appearances.
Yeah, the government wants us to like believe it. Yeah.
Chill. Chill.
Well, I will say I've heard of that happening. I've had a couple of friends in high school that did that. Like I said, Mike and Bill Pepper. Shouts to them.
Yeah,
tonight.
You're telling me about this. Yeah.
For a couple of pranks on their teachers, they would switch classes. And
I wouldn't switch classes. Though, I'd be like, hey, come to my class.
Right.
Notes. Okay. So you got mine. Like, yeah.
I'm leaving, man.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Well. Are we good on
conspiracy talk? Yeah.
Well, right before we get off it, Wizards just tied it up 48-48.
All right.
So is it half yet?
It's 2 minutes left.
Cool. So by the time we get out of here, we should be catching that third quarter. That's perfect. That's good timing on our part.
Yeah. We did this purposely.
Yeah, absolutely.
We coordinated with the NBA and everything. We're like, yo, we got our 5 show.
I talked to David Stern earlier, and then
he's
said,
no longer the.
That's what he said.
Surprisingly,
he
wasn't that stern with us.
Yeah.
He was really.
Oh, dude. No, but he did say, stop calling me. I no longer run the league. And that's just a bad joke all the way around.
Yeah, I was going to say, leave the bad jokes for me, man, okay?
I got you. My fault. I was just saw how much you enjoy doing them.
Leave the bad jokes for the bad jokes
for me. Try one out. Okay.
Leave the bad jokes for Derek and the math for me.
Yeah.
And we're
good. We're good.
Yeah.
And I...
Wait, are you really good at math or something?
Yeah. Last week,
man.
$1.27.
Oh yeah,
short Bowser.
Yeah, short memory, buddy. Well, so we're good on that topic.
Yeah,
let's move on. Can we talk about Kaepernick?
Please.
So reports are saying that Pete Carroll, I think it was in Bleacher Report, Pete Carroll came out and said he would not be against having Kaepernick as a backup for Russell.
Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson. And also. For Dak Prescott in Dallas. I do find it interesting that both dudes that he would be replacing are mixed black dudes, but I don't know that that's neither here nor there. We could make a whole conspiracy out of it. What I find most puzzling is Blaine Bleeping Gabbert just got a job. And if we can remember, it wasn't that long ago, Blaine Gabbert got his last starting job stripped by a better quarterback in Colin Kaepernick. So there's been a lot of theories. The press has been talking about it a lot lately. Is Cap being blackballed? I listen to a lot of sports talk radio. I don't know why. There's only a couple really good shows out there, including this one. But there's been a lot of just people, very confused how to feel about this Cap thing. And people just seem to get angry and a lot of accusations like, oh, well, look, he's doing all this for his cause now and he has this agenda now. But where was this when he was in the playoffs? Which... I'm just going to dismiss you as an idiot if that's where you're coming from. I mean, Cap just spent last weekend in Chicago doing the Know Your Rights campaign, working with over 800 kids in the community. He had a bunch of other NFL players there, giving them free food, breakout rooms where they're doing lectures about financial literacy, how to prepare a resume, education, all sorts of things that children should know going off into the world. So he's doing really, really good work out there. And so I don't understand. Everyone keeps – one thing I continue to hear is that it's a controversial pickup if you pick up Cap.
Why?
Is it?
I don't know.
It is, definitely.
Didn't Joe Mixon just get drafted? Yeah, and he punched a girl in the face.
Yeah, but Joe Mixon could potentially be your starter. You know what I'm saying? Like, would you really – you know what I'm saying? Objectively, would you really want a backup with all this talk about him? A person who's not even consistently going to play for your team.
I mean, for the past year, it's been good stuff, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, right. since the season ended, it's been nothing but good stuff, I feel, on the guy. Like, granted, he took his stance, and you can feel whatever you want on it. But I think to put that much emphasis and completely blackball a guy for doing that action when we don't blackball guys that do far horrendous actions out there, right. I think is completely ridiculous. So I feel like there shouldn't be a controversy. At least I get it objectively and like seeing from other people's perspective, they aren't like the guy for some reason.
Yeah.
But
well, and not only that, but I feel like it's him not having a job is perpetuating his ordeal. I mean, I feel like just whoever signs him, it's gonna wash over. It's gonna get to that point where after a month, it's like, oh yeah, Cap's on this team. I totally forgot.
Well,
like it's not gonna be an issue.
That's a really good point. And if he goes to a team that's established, like the Seahawks, I guess like the Cowboys, but let's keep it with the Seahawks. They have been a proven team year in, year out for the past 4, 5, 6 years now. They've been in the hunt. They've been a really solid playoff team every year. And, you know, they have an established culture there. And I think it makes all the sense in the world as far as playing styles. You're not missing out on much if you go from Wilson to Kaepernick. They have a similar type of playing style. And I think that would be a good situation for Cap, especially as dangerous as Wilson plays, dangerous.
Instagram.
I think that's his Instagram handle.
Shout out to Russ and Sierra for that baby. They just had a baby, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to that weird photo shoot they did, too.
Oh, yeah.
And shout out to future murdering Russell Wilson at some point. Anyway, I do think that would be a good fit. But, John, to your point, I think that's a really good point. After he gets signed, if he makes the team, this becomes a non-story pretty quick because he's not – on the basis of what he's doing, like you said, Derek, He's not doing anything really controversial. He's right. handing out suits
to homeless people for job interviews.
Yeah, and to former
he's going to Somalia and whatnot
stuff.
And trying to help out with the hunger farm people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not about that, though. It's about the agenda of what
I think, what's the agenda?
I mean, the overall agenda is, you know what I'm saying, the whole Black Lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stance. And that conflicts with, you know what I'm saying, the NFL. The people who run the NFL aren't Black. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see. But I think... if we're talking strictly Seahawks, I feel like the story becomes Cap being either traitor-esque or whatever with Niner situation. Going to Seattle, being a rival. I feel like that story will overtake him and his stance and his kneel.
But the Niners didn't want him. A lot of people said he walked away from the deal. But the Niners, from reports, said they came and told him, look, we're going to cut you. So... you can opt out now, give yourself a couple extra weeks in free agency, get a head start on it, or you know, you could stick around and you're going to be cut because we're dumping salary. And it makes sense from both angles, I think. I think the Niners need a restart. They can't get much worse than they were last year. But, I mean, this became a non-story last year for the Niners. I mean, halfway through the season, the talk about Kaepernick kneeling wasn't – it really died after the first few weeks. I mean – after he became the starter,
I would say if they were winning, it would have continued to be a story. But since I think they sucked, they were just like, oh, well, they're terrible. So
yeah, the first few weeks of the season, it was a story. And then it just kind of quelled out and cooled down and was no longer a story. And again, like, I don't understand how you could be against his quote-unquote agenda. I think his agenda is wanting to give Black people opportunities. And beyond that, he's not just doing this with Black people. I mean, in Chicago, yes, the overwhelming majority was Black kids, but he was doing it in the South Side of Chicago. There was white kids there, Latin kids there, Asian kids there. I think his overarching theme is equality and trying to make the world a better place. So I think, you know, if you got a problem with that, I think you need to question yourself and start looking at maybe the mirror and how you view the world, because this guy hasn't done any harm to anyone, which is the thing that is hardest to wrap my head around. Is this guy is doing, he did the action of, I'm going to take a stance, let's look at this, and it got all sorts of attention, and he did it in the least attention grabbing way he really could, that still made some noise. And then when people were coming out and saying that, you know, put your money where your mouth is, you know, great, you kneeled, but you're not really about a cause. Now all he's done ever since then is put his money where his mouth is, dedicate his time to this cause. And I just don't see why you would have a problem with it. And if you're an NFL franchise and you're, say, the Jets, and you've had Fitzgerald as your or is that his name?
Fitzpatrick.
If you've had, who cares what his name is? He threw six interceptions in one game. If you've had that guy, why wouldn't you take a flyer on Cap? Unless you're Woody Johnson and you're a Trump supporter, and then all of a sudden it makes sense. So it definitely seems like a conspiracy, but I don't want to end this show on that note. Do you guys have anything else to say about it? I kind of went off there.
I just hope he gets a job and proves everyone wrong.
I do too. I would love to see him get a starting position and blow up. I don't know that that'll happen, but that would be cool to see. All right. Well,
good luck, Cap.
We'll want to talk hockey for 2 minutes before you do your grind your gears.
I mean, I'll just give you a quick little update. I actually watched the hockey game. I don't know about you guys.
Wow.
Yeah, I did.
Was there any fights?
They got into some scuffles. Yeah, yeah. No, four-on-four fights, though. Usually, like, during the playoffs, what I hear, they don't, like, take fights.
Because
it's kind of like, you know, it hurts the team a little bit. They kind of take it a little more seriously. But, you know, they don't step down when someone starts shoving them.
Yeah.
It was a good little shoving matches. It was Ottawa and Pittsburgh is what I watched. You were there for a little bit of
it. Yeah,
went to OT, which, I mean, OT hockey is great.
Yes.
It really is. Like, it's that sudden death mentality. Anything can happen.
And it's 4-on-4, isn't it? It gets the 4-on-4 in playoff hockey?
I think after the first period.
Okay.
I think I did hear something about that.
Yeah.
So they opens up offense.
It was Ottawa ended up winning. So they're up 1-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. In the Western Conference Finals, we got the Anaheim and Nashville tied 1-1. And I said that was another thrilling game last night, too. I saw the last bit of it, Nashville and Anaheim coming down with the wire, too. So some good hockey going on right now. So if you are a hockey fan, which I know there are plenty of people up here in this town that are, you got some good stuff going on, even though you don't got the Sharks in there anymore. But, hey,
Well, that was to be expected.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had their shot last year.
Well, yeah, that's over.
Yeah.
All right. So, hockey guys.
So, with that depressing note, what about your grandkids?
And the Thrashers are tied
1-1. Predators and Ducks.
Yeah. Thrashers aren't a thing anymore. They're in Atlanta. Okay. Let's talk about this for 30 seconds. Who puts a hockey team in Atlanta? Come on, NHL. Yeah. No one. They don't even care about the Hawks. And that's a pretty black city, and they don't support the Hawks that much. So, if they're not going to go out and support basketball, you think they're going to go support hockey? Anyway,
yeah,
I do want to see Nashville win. I want to see PK Subban get revenge on the Canadiens, who, after he donated $10 million to a children's hospital and started getting all this attention, the Canadiens said, you know what? We don't need our best player getting all this attention and being more important than the team. We're going to ship him out of here. So, you know, black hockey player, got to root for that guy because there's only a handful in the league. And PK Subban's an absolute superstar and, by all accounts, a good guy. You dedicate $10 million to a children's hospital, unless you're Hitler, that's you're a good guy in my book. So,
yeah, there you go. Right. Okay.
I agree with that.
Hockey. Hey, we're still looking for a hockey correspondent. Maybe next week we can get you guys to call in and give us 30 seconds to a minute of your best hockey talk.
I was saying, you heard what I did, and it was terrible. It was very bland. It was boring.
So you can deal with us talking about hockey, or you can talk about hockey. So if you're knowledgeable, you're listening in, tune in next week. We'll have you call in. We'll give you some time. Again, 30 seconds to a minute. If you crush it, you could be our new hockey correspondent. Wouldn't that be a treat for everyone? Grinds my gears. You got time?
I got one, yeah.
You got about 2.5-3 minutes.
No, I mean, I can make this one last.
All right.
Well, guys, as always, at the end of the show, we got a little stuff that just really irks me. rubs me the wrong way. It boils my waters. All of the things,
Boils my waters. Yeah. All
right. Well, as I did mention, yesterday was Mother's Day. And again, like I said, shout out to the mothers, everyone. You guys just got to give love to the mothers, man.
Yep.
But as I was shopping for my Mother's Day card, I saw one. And it's kind of something that's rubbed me the wrong way for some time. And it was a card that said, "From the dog." And from the dog. From the dog. And I've come to realize that there's a very big trend out there that if you are a female and you don't have kids, but you have a dog, you consider yourself a mother and give yourself a Mother's Day treat, which I find blasphemous. Like, that's just terrible in my eyes right there. I get it. Dogs are like kids, but an airsoft gun is like a real gun. But if I shoot you with it, you're not going to die. So, hey, your dog is still a dog. And you didn't go through the pain of actually childbirthing someone or adopting. If you're adopted or childbirth, that's the only real way you got to be a mother.
Raising a child is painful.
Yes. Raising a child in general, like going through that is, I've kind of watched my nephew for a day when he was a baby. And I was like, that's the only birth plan. That's like the birth control I needed right there. Don't have one yet. So, you know, it's been working.
It's working.
Yeah. So I was just like, if you are a female and you have a dog, that's nice. You are a dog owner. You are not a mother. And that is not your child, even though you might consider it your child and might treat it like some. But don't celebrate Mother's Day. Give shouts to your mom, but you are not a mom if you just have a dog.
I appreciate that. A couple of my coworkers yesterday said that to each other, Happy Mother's Day. And I was like, I didn't know you guys had kids. They're like, no, we have dogs.
Come on, man.
I was like, all right, well.
No, I'm sorry. You don't get the accolade of the term mother. Like, that mom is a term, you know? You know, it's just, you're abusing it.
I feel like that's all our grinds gears, dude. I mean.
Right? Yeah, I hope everyone's on board with me there, right? Yeah, come on.
Yeah, we're all on board.
So if I get a dog, I can celebrate Father's Day now?
Hey, you got something there, because I got a dog.
Right. It was like, it's my only chance to celebrate it now.
So that's your grinds my gears?
That's my grinds my gears right now.
And that, people, is what grinds my gears.
All right. Just had to make sure. Well, before we get out of here, we'll have a Twitter for you guys before too long when I get a little less lazy. But in the meantime, if you have suggestions for the show, go ahead and hit up Flipside_radio on the Twitter. And
we are terrible at social media, man.
Yeah, no,
I'm bad at it.
I'll get us one by the end of this week, but we need to get a logo, and we need. You know. We've been doing the show for almost a year, so we should probably get on that.
It's been over a year. We've done two. No, wait, no, it hasn't.
No, yeah, not yet. Right. Not yet. Not officially.
Not yet.
Because it was Say Hey for years and 3 or 4 years, and when we took over after Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
That is right.
When Jake decided, I've had enough.
After that Warriors L, he couldn't take it.
No, he couldn't. He couldn't. And I don't blame him. That was a pretty brutal one. But yeah, go ahead and get in touch with us again. If you love hockey and you're tired of us talking about it poorly and you think you could do a better job, hey, we'll let you. We have no ego about that. We don't know what we're talking about. All I know is it moves really fast and people get hit really hard and icing seems weird. That's going to do it for us. Myself, Dro, Derek, John, Jordan, thanks for being here. Tune in next week, talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Stay tuned for the show. Oh, whoa, that came in hot. Jordan, where can they find you one more time, my man?
BYOB Radio every Thursday at midnight, 12 to 2 a.m.
Right where, where can they follow you, my guy?
They call me on the Twitter at DJ_JLBS.